that the outward, the external sabab and cause for a person coming into this worldly life. So a child in reality is juz'um min al-walidin. Juz is a part, is a portion, is a piece of the parent. So the respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran Sharif also, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon you that you should worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And immediately after Allah demanding that you worship Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now, be kind to your parents. So in these few pages, Hazrat will explain to us the etiquettes of parents, respect, muhabbat. How much do we give our parents, parents give children, etc. What is the Islamic perspective in regards to parents? Never be disrespectful to parents. Never hurt their feelings by any deed or word. By deed or word, any action shouldn't hurt them. Anything we say also shouldn't hurt them. As we mentioned last night, man samata naja. Person who keeps quiet, he will be successful. So there are times now when you have to make amal on the hadith. And when you make amal on the hadith, is now you're hard pressed and now you want to say something. Now keep quiet. Don't say anything. Hold your tongue. This can be ensured by thinking before speaking or acting. Before you speak or act, think now, should I say it, should I not say it? And you don't have to be always right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we demand our right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if parents are unjust, it is not lawful for children to ill-treat, disobey, disrespect or displease them. Sometimes it happens in a family business situation where sometimes the parent is not so well educated in deen and sharia, is being unjust. The son is educated, possibly is connected to some alim, or is an alim himself. In that case, Hazrat says, it's not lawful for children to ill-treat. Now you might think that because he's unjust, so I have a right now to make his islah, make my father's islah. There's a way how to do it, how to work around it. We have an elder uncle in the family, or an alim who the father trusts. Then go around and put your case to them. So they can handle it on that level. Not that I want to handle my father. So it is unlawful, it is not lawful for children to ill-treat, disobey, disrespect or displease them. Even to displease them. As we always say, that forego your right and Allah will fulfill your right. That is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forego your right. Forego your right and Allah will not take so much of sabr from you that you can't. That you can't give. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Possibly now there's a big calamity to befall you. Something that you can't handle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you to a little test like this. Sabr kar. Make a little sabr. And Allah through your sabr now will ward off the great calamity. I might think, what can be such a great calamity? I'm such in a situation right now with my father, or my mother, or my parents. But we don't know. Some accident might make you, as they say, land you up like a cabbage. Now who's going to look after you? The same father. He'll be there at the hospital bedside for you. So little bit now, he might be handling you, so to say, but I keep quiet. Carry on smiling. Forgo my right for the pleasure of Allah, and Allah will fulfill my right. It's Allah's promise. Allah will never go against His promise. Allah will give it back to you somewhere. This little sabr that you are making, Allah is taking patience from you. Make sabr, and something else is being warded off. If not in this world, Qiyamah's day. Qiyamah's day, then you'll think, yeah, life, only my whole life I made sabr for the enjoyment you're giving me now. For the enjoyment that you're giving me now. So Allah will not take more than you can't handle. Allah's promises is, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not oblige you to anything more than beyond your capacity. Allah knows, Allah is Al-Hakim. This is where our yaqeen comes in, our conviction in Allah. Allah is all-wise. Everything Allah does with me is full of hikmat and wisdom. If I am in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be bad to me? I'm trying to obey Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the positive ibadat, very sweet. Quran tilawah, dhikr, salah, umrah, going in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, all these sweet ibadat, and we have the bitter ones also. And we know when it comes to medication, the bitter pill is always the most effective one. That now very quickly, it'll cut off the gangrene, it'll take away the infection. In the same way, when it comes to Sharia also, the bitter pull of sabr is the most difficult one. And that sabr also is mentioned in different riwayat, as the Shaykh has mentioned. That sabr, When a person will pass away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that sabr a human form of a handsome young man, and that sabr now will jump into the person's kafan with him. And when he goes into the qabr, he will stand in one corner of the qabr. Munkar and Nakir will come, and they will come breaking through the earth to frighten this person so he can't answer the questions, he's afraid. But all his a'mal will surround him. He was an a'mal, making sabr also. So all his a'mal will surround him and they will protect him. And when Munkar and Nakir will fail to interrogate the person, then all his a'mal will turn to the corner and ask that young person, who are you? You are defending him, what are you doing here? So he will say that I am the sabr he made in his life, the sabr she made in her life. And only it was between herself, himself and Allah. Allah knew how much sabr they are making. إِنَّمَا يُوفَ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. When he comes, when he saw what was happening, how he was handling me, how he was swearing at me, how he was being abusive to me, I made sabr. Then it was unjust, it was beyond the limits. So I retaliated. Abu Bakr, as long as you kept quiet, Allah sent down the malaika to defend you. And they were answering on your behalf. They were answering on your behalf. Once you retaliated, the malaika departed, I also departed. So Allah sent the malaika rahmah, making dua for you, retaliating on your behalf. And Allah was lifting you up because of your patience at that moment, as difficult as it was. As soon as you retaliated, malaika left, I also left. Obey and serve your parents, even if they happen to be non-Muslims. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah says, even they are non-Muslims, then to صَاحِبْهُمَا, that live with them مَعْرُوفًا, with kindness. Obey and assist parents in all things lawful in the Sharia. In the process of serving and obeying non-Muslim parents, the laws of the Sharia should not be violated. Don't break the commands of Allah. وَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا. If they force you to do anything that entails shirk, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then فَلَا تُدِعْهُمَا. They don't obey them now. Muslim parents also, if they command us or they tell us to do something which is un-Islamic, they will not oblige to. And doesn't mean we can be rude to them also, quietly. They don't have to oblige, it's not the right thing to do. If, for example, one's non-Muslim father dies and one's mother wishes that the child must participate in a funeral service, a kufr, non-Islamic funeral service, which is not correct, such obedience and service will not be permissible. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to the creation in disobeying the creator. Allah's disobedience will take place. You don't call that now obedience. That you are obeying the parent, it's not the time to obey the parent. In such a case, decline politely and excuse yourself respectfully. Never refuse rudely, nor argue with them. When parents scold, abuse, or even beat their children, they should submit to such treatment with humility. With humility. Don't retaliate. Don't show attitude at that time. Remember, Allah is looking. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands to be just. And if injustice is taking place, remember Allah will give you the reward. Allah will see you right. And especially when you really need the help of Allah, now they say you got some credit balance. When Ahmad Muhammad, rahmatullah alayh, mentioned one of our ishtimas also. He says, nowadays, we want to withdraw from the bank of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but we haven't done any deposit yet. So we're living in OD, overdraft right now. We're just pulling. Allah, give this, give that, but how much have you deposited? How much? Well, we can't guarantee our salah is correct. We can't guarantee our salah is correct. I got no guarantee my ghusl taharat is correct. You're always learning something or the other new. My salah 100% is it on sunnah accordingly. My du'as also, whether it's correct, whether my Quran tilawat is correct. So all my ibadat we know is deficient. But what I can do with perfection is sabr. What I can do with perfection is sabr. That Allah can't say, no, your sabr was half. You were insincere in your patience. In my salah, in my ibadah, there can be some amount of insincerity, some taint also in my rozi, sustenance. Whether sustenance I bought this kurta, whether that sustenance was 100% halal, I can't guarantee also. But in the sabr and making 100%, that 100% I was patient, I was really patient, I was being beaten up also, I was being abused also. But then too, I still kept my external showing the cheerfulness and sabr. So when parents scold, abuse, or even beat their children, they should submit to such treatment with humility. Never should they utter a word of disrespect or complaint. nor should they display on their faces any indication of disgust or anger. This is real sabr now. Sharia is encouraging us, make that sabr on that what leaps and bounds you will progress in the spiritual world through your sabr. They say what you cannot get, and Allah knows who to take sabr from. This is the Ajib Tibun Amma explained. When it comes to a young man that has a lot of lust also, exposed to haram things, Hazrat says now for the person exposed to haram, now wants to become pious, a person now who's being treated unjustly, for him to become pious and reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can reach Allah ta'ala faster than a person now who's not going through these conditions. A person now who's not exposed to haram, and yes, his taqwa will be of a different level, but he'll have to push a lot of ibadat. But for a person who's exposed to haram, now for him to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he will suppress that haram desire of his, is like a springboard, with very strong springs. That he suppresses one time and he'll push it very high. But very quickly he can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same with the person now who has been treated unjustly, is making sabr, but in that broken state of his, he's saying, Ya Allah, again it's starting. And he's getting closer to Allah. He's getting closer to Allah by making sabr. That person now should read 10,000 durood to get what he's getting. He should read 10,000 durood sharif now to get what he's getting with the sabr right now. It might look that that person is having a rosy life. Yes, alhamdulillah. Obedience is obedience, as it says. That person's taqwa not exposed is a different purity and level compared to the person now who came through some haram channels, exposed to haram, whatever it was. But now he's making sabr, but he'll get very far and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhu also, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, never worshipped the idols, never drank liquor. So obviously his status now is absolutely pure compared to the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They came from a background of sin and vice. So nobody can equal the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Divine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you put the iman of Abu Bakr on one side of the scale, entire ummah till qiyamah, their iman one side of the scale, Abu Bakr will outweigh them. His iman is of that level. Never should they utter a word of disrespect or complaint, nor should they display on their faces any indication of disgust or anger. Bear their treatment in silence and with patience. Make dua for them. Make dua for them. Allah is all aware of the condition of the heart. So one is the young boys at home, go in the family business, and we have the young girls also. She's tired now. Mother will tell her, now wash the pots, do this, do that. And she can't make the sabab. And then, you know, in the little kitchen now, what fights will break out over there? With a smile, do it. Alhamdulillah. What Allah will give, what rewards, what Allah will open of taqdeer of the future and akhirat. Whenever you see them, greet them. Make salam first. If you are entering the private room of your parents, seek their permission before entering. Don't just barge in like that. And you can't say, now, but you barge in my room like that. So I can come in your room like that. Doesn't work like that. As I mentioned now, the door of your room belongs to your father also. But his door doesn't belong to you. If you take out your door, he can take it out also. If you are living with them, take their permission before going anywhere. Inform them of your whereabouts, because you're always concerned. Now sometime somebody might think now, but my parents don't trust me. Or they just don't like me. So they want to know, they want to keep tabs on me all the time. It's their anxiousness. They're always worried, where are you? Whether you're okay or not. So take it to be their muhabbat. Do not embark on a journey without their permission. So here we are, encourage them to inform them and don't put them through that anxiousness of theirs. They're always concerned and worried about us. If you are engaged in nafil salah and your parents call you, break your salah, nafil salah. Break your salah and answer the call, even if there is no urgency or importance in the call. If you are performing far salah and you detect urgency in the call, you can hear the way the parent is calling some urgency, some emergency right now, and you're in far salah, then break even the far salah to answer the call. If it's nafil and you can hear the urgency, then moreover. If it's far urgency, then moreover. But there's no urgency, they're just calling you, then you can gauge and you can complete your salah quickly. Do not call them by their names. Address them with titles of respect and honor. Very importantly, don't call them by their names. One is the parents, and also has become now a norm that where the young children even address now the elders by their names. We take it to be cute. The khalas or the uncles, they call them by their first name. They start to respect them. And where they learn this from, unfortunately, is that even the wives call the husbands by their first name. The Thani Rahmatullah Ali said, this is absolute disrespect to the husband that you call him by his name. There should be some amount of respect when you call the husband also. Call him, like what the children call him. Call him Dada, call him Nana, grandchildren call him, or call him Abba. Or some word of muhabbat or love, but don't call him by his first name. This is not correct. In Gujarati you say Iman, him or something like that. But we try. The wives have to take it upon them. They feel so difficult nowadays to show little but respect now to the husband and call him by some nice title or some pet name also. Call him. But not by his first name. That is disrespect. And the husband also is encouraged. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had pet names also for Azwaj al-Mutahharat. Because Aisha radiallahu anha is called Humaira, my red doll, or the red one because she had red cheeks. So he had a pet name for her out of muhabbat and love. So the husband also will call the wife by some pet name. And also the wife will do the same thing for the husband, but not by the first names. So because now amongst the adults is no respect, so the young children also, they call elders by the first name. So this is absolutely disrespectful. They should be calling them by some titles. And with modernism now, we don't want to teach the children what we learned from our parents and grandparents. This is Mamaji, this is Foy. Now they feel difficult to use those Gujarati terms or Urdu terms, etc. Now is modern terms you want to use, or don't even say uncle or auntie, also call them by their first name. That is not correct. Then you won't have any respect, and soon they lose the respect. And our Kabir say, Ad-deenu kulluhu adab. Whole of deen is respect. The entire deen is based upon respect. If you don't have respect for yourself, number one, and for the people around you, then you lose your deen slowly, slowly. Everything got to do with respect. So we teach them, and if the children also make the tarbiyat, if they have the habit of calling the elders by their first name and they call you by your first name, then don't respond. And the parents tell them, call auntie by this name, then they respond to you. So they become habitual now of calling them the correct names. But as I mentioned now, that even the aunties and the uncles have become fancy now. If you call them now, Choti Kala or Bari Kala, hey, don't make me old. Don't make me old. Call me some fancy name. Fancy Fatih or something. No, fancy Fatih. Then I'm happy. This is now. You must know who I am. Oh, she got some name that she calls herself, maybe on some Instagram account or some Facebook account. Call me by that name because people know me by that fancy name of mine. Maybe some cuisine queen or something like that now. So call me that name. Then you feel important. That's respect now. People know me by this name of mine. So it shouldn't be like that. So address them with titles of respect and honor. Always be cheerful in their presence. Remember all these positive things that we are encouraged to do should be done now when I don't want to do it. Not when things are good. Not when things are good. Things aren't good. This is Islah now. Once Qari Amir al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatul Arif Mahardoy came up to our Darul Min Azadwal. And over 80 years old, and all his life he taught Ali Bat Atha in the Khanka of Mawlana Barul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Kept himself so low. It's not low, it's a very high status actually to teach Quran Sharif and Ali Bat Atha. But his entire life came out teaching this, just the basics. So our beloved Sheikh Mahabul Hamid Sahib, the Barakatu, requested Qari Sahib to share some words with us. So he mentioned, he said, what is Islah? What is reformation? We all came for Islah. To reform our lives, to reform our hearts, all our departments of life, my ibadat, my akhlaq, my social interaction, my financial dealings. I want to reform all of these completely, correctly, and make them in line with the commands of Allah. Allah becomes happy, according to sunnah. So my life is full of barakat and muhabbat, and my existence now is an asset to the ummah. So he asked the member, what is Islah? So Islah is very simple. What you're supposed to do and you're not doing, start doing it. What you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing, start doing it. That is Islah. Is there something big now? I got to go through a whole big process, and so many thousands of tasbihat I have to make, and so many rakats of namaz I have to make. That is Islah? No. Islah is what you're supposed to be doing, how you're supposed to be acting. And you're not doing it like that, now start doing it. And he gave a simple example. What is Islah? Every morning I'm supposed to be reading Yasin, but I'm not doing it. Start reading it. That is your Islah. So that 5-10 minutes now every morning which you are doing something else besides deeni work, now fill that time with Yasin Sharif. Now, Islah of that time took place. That time got rectified. Yasin Sharif took place in there now. Alhamdulillah. For that islah, your time took place, and islah, your amal took place. For that time got corrected. Alhamdulillah, you banked it. Right? You want to bank everything now, so you bank that time. It's already reserved, alhamdulillah. So every morning I got that 5 minutes banked with my Yasin Sharif. So what I'm not doing, so all these are teachings of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, that where I supposed to be cheerful and respectful, I'm not doing it there, and now start doing it. So now my istar took place in that period of time, I banked the time by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And the dividends you will get. Dividends, remember, Hazrat says also, that we always feel that the benefits are credit, udar. Nobody likes credit. Before you read in some people's shop, that's something we are friends, and if you ask for credit, they forget about the friendship and something like that. We only like cash, nobody likes credit. So when it comes to amal also, there's cash benefits. And Allah will bank it in the akhirat for you. Is that only akhirat, akhirat, and here I'm just suffering, I'm suffering. No. The need is there, Allah will give you this word also. Where the sabr will come out, where Allah will give you, how it will open up, where and where. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely will give you in this worldly life, the time of more than akhirat also is banked for you. So always be cheerful in their presence. Speak kindly and tenderly with them. Keep your gaze low when addressing them. So sometimes it happens, we push the limit. Then you say, I can't handle it anymore. Then we challenge the person head on. Be it a mother, be it a father, be it an elder brother also. I remember also in the absence of the father, the father's brother takes the position of the father. Absence of the mother, then the khala, mother-sister takes the position of the mother. This comes in the hadith also. Hayat al-Sahaba, the riwayat is there. When the father is not there, then the father's elder brother, or after him, he takes the position of the father. That's how you should be relating to him and speaking to him also, like how you speak to your father. Now you should not think that he don't did namaz also. He got no tikhana now. We must give him that amount of respect. You're not doing it because of him. I'm doing it for my own akhirat. I'm doing it for my own akhirat. No matter what he may be, but I'm doing it for my akhirat. Never raise your voice above their voice. Do not stare them in the face. Even though you may be upset now, look down. You say, look down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nazar and glance and Allah's camera is on your camera right now. But He is looking down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you now. Allah will give you the honor. Sooner or later the tables will turn. Ever the father will need you. And you were there for him. You showed him the respect. And how many a time they found parents in old age who tell the children, maaf kar jo. I'm sorry about how I did to you. Whatever I did to you. Please make maaf. Sometimes I shouted at you. I did this to you. But you still didn't leave me. You're still stuck by my side. And if they might not say it, they'll make dua in their heart. They'll realize as they get older now, when they're not so strong and tough, no matter what I did to him, he's still stuck around. The duas they will give, they'll be for generations thereafter. When they question you, do not inconvenience them by delaying your reply. It's very common now. That even the young children too, call them, no response. Then finally ask him, when I called you, why you didn't come? Because, ... Because, no answer, just like because. They leave it like that. So don't delay, they hear us doing it, and they hear more or less sometimes the mother doing it. Husband will call the wife, he won't respond. Or the wife calls the husband, no response. So children pick up the habit also. Nobody's responding. Whereas the etiquette is responding immediately. The child should say, gee, I'm coming, I heard, I'm coming. And more than say I'm coming, the child should be there immediately. Quickly come away. My parents are calling me. So when they question you, do not inconvenience them by delaying your reply. It is highly disrespectful to refrain from answering them. Even in their absence, speak highly and respectfully of them. When they're not there also, speak good about them. This is one ilaj, this is one prescription ulama give. Of the one who you have a difference with, be it a parent or a friend or a relative, associate, business partner, then what happens? Ghibat starts very quickly. Ghibat starts very quickly, and especially, you know, when it comes to family businesses now. And family businesses, we know, it's always difficult. The father always has in his mind that I built up this business. I built it up. So it's always, what happens when he's not there, then we'll start speaking. Oh, in the home, in the family. So always speak highly. So the ilaj is for someone who you want to speak ill about, speak good about them. Speak good. Look for the good in them and speak only about that part of it. And make dua for them by name. especially the one that's hurting you, take the name in dua. Very difficult. Butterful. Make dua for them. Speak good about them. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ Quran says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمُ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ Shaitan puts first that evil thought in the mind. You know what? My mother is not treating me properly. She's not treating me properly. Girl will think. She treats my sister properly. So she speaks to her, how nice she is to her. Oh, my father speaks to their brother properly. So Shaitan will put that evil thought in your mind. Suya dhan. Evil thought will come first in the mind. And now the story will start. Then, after the evil thought will come, wala tajassasu, you start spying on the person. Spying in which way now? That you start looking over the person's bad qualities, the shortcomings. Oh, see how they do this, see how they do that. I knew they were like that. I knew they were like that. So you start making the justice, taking out all the faults. Then you get one, two, that you tell them, you saw how he's doing it. You saw how she's like this. You say, yeah, you're right. The person never had the thought. Now you're putting poison. And after the justice, after spying now, picking on the faults and bringing it to the fore, then وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا Now غِيبَةُ will start. Eating the flesh of that person. Now the غِيبَةُ will start. So for this now, they say the ilaj and the prescription and the medication and cure, speak highly and respectfully of them in their absence. When they're not there, look for something good in that person and speak about it. Speak good something about that person, your heart will burn, but Allah will raise you. And make dua for that person by name also. Be a business opposition also. But his work is good. Speak something good about him and make dua for him. Allah is hearing. Allah is king of all kings. Allah wants to see your servitude and your slavery, then you're not acting like a boss, you're acting like a slave. And Allah sees that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pick you up. When the need arises to say something, because of some wrong or sinful action of the parents, then speak to them tenderly. Speak to them tenderly. You don't tell them, it happens in a business situation now. You told your father, but now, you should display the window like this. Say, what you know? You just fell down now. You know where you fell down from? You just fell down now. You come in now. You build up this business. But you did some management cause and now you want to come and cause it in the business. I'm running this business for years. Now they have their way, their mindset, how they're doing things now. But you know what's in the market right now. But no, he's still got his old way and he still feels now he's making it. But now you want to convince him, set the way to do it. Things have changed. Or they say when the need arises to say something because of some wrong or sinful action of the parent. He did something wrong. Right, sometime in public he might reprimand you in front of the staff also. Right, in front of the staff you came in there and you came with a bottle of cold drink in your hand and you're standing and drinking. Say, what's wrong? You don't know you must sit and drink. And then one day there's no staff there alone, you walked in, he's standing and drinking. Say, now look at him. He embarrassed me from everybody and he's doing it himself also. So say at that time, something sinful, something wrong, then speak to them tenderly. At that time, don't say it. But quietly, nicely when you get the opportunity. Or say to somebody else, somebody elder, or your brother, see this happened. Better you say it instead of me saying it. So tenderly, rectify it politely and respectfully. Adopt a soft tone. Adopt a soft tone. Do not adopt a harsh tone and an independent stance. No, speak to them by way of raising objections. No, but do it nicely, amicably. Like we are taught also in Darul Uloom. Sometimes the ustaz is tired, he's teaching, or the masla didn't click in his mind and he said something, but doesn't according to the masla, it can happen sometime. Nobody's 100% right all the time. And the student picked up that the ustaz now didn't explain the masla correctly. And one is now, he's very intelligent. So he can say, but that's not right. In the commentaries like this. But that's not the way to say it. Rather, we are taught in Darul Uloom in Madrasa also, if he's not going right, and the student can say, Ustaz, if you look at the masla in this way, you think it will be correct in that manner. So he put it like that. That if you look at it in this manner, could it be correct or is it wrong? Is my thinking right if I think of the masla in this way? Then he'll click to the Ustaz, what you're saying is right. That's the right thing. I just missed this one point over here. My mind went in that way. So in a way you put it now, that you give him the benefit. But now, yeah, what are you saying? He sanctioned it now. That he knew it, and now he sanctioned it. But in reality now, it just slipped him. But there's a way, tactful way now, how to put it forward, that you keep the hearts of everyone and you keep the trust of the other students upon the ustaz. Now in the business place now, every time there will be a takraw, then even the staff will say, yeah, we thought the boss is like that. Now what they say, there's a para in the camp now. There's a fight in the camp. Now there's no barakat. The fight will start, we lost it to Qadr, now we lose the barakat also. Always endeavor to keep them happy. Always endeavor to keep them happy. This also, we know hadiya, buy hadiyas, do tahabbu, exchange gifts, exchange muhabbat and love. Now, the only time we think of giving a gifts when they bring on Father's Day, and on Mother's Day, and now they got Woman's Day. Then only now we bring hadiya. Hadiya, no. Whenever we can, it comes in the heart, buy something for them, take something for them, some hadiya for them, whatever it may be. Little small things also make them happy. When accompanying parents on a walk, do not walk in front of them or on their sides. Walk slightly behind them. This is the correct way. Unless now a parent wants to speak to you and it's clear for him to turn back to you. So then you may walk with him. Hold his hand. Or father will hold your hand. And then a person will walk along with the parent. Otherwise you walk slightly behind. This shows respect to the parent. Do not give preference to the wife over them. This does not apply to the rights of the wife. If the parents instruct their son to violate or discard the obligatory rights of the wife, it will not be permissible to obey them in this case. This is a misconception and an incorrect notion that if your parents say divorce your wife, you have to fulfill their right and divorce the wife. That's not correct. That. The maslah is not like that. That if my parents say divorce her, then you have to divorce her. No. The wife has some rights, so it's not so easy. You just divorce her, pack her and send her away. It's not the correct thing also. As ulama ikram, is it correct? Now just to, yes, there will be differences between women. That is there, but how the men handle it now? So we go to the ulama ikram, ask them, how do I balance the relationship between my wife and my mother? From both sides, you'll hear a lot of things now. That your wife is like this, and like this, and like this. And you hear from your wife also. And each one wants you now to stand for them, for their haqq and their right. So what is the masla? You must disappear. Go 40 days jamaat. No, you don't do that, boy. There's a way how to do it. There's a way how to do it where you show muhabbat to all sides. And one advice someone gave is that when you get married, then you must build a national highway from one ear to the other with no toll roads. No toll roads. But you just go past. With an open heart and a smile. But men now, he goes to the ear and then into the heart. Goes to the ear and then into the heart. And in reality, the last time we had a fight, we thought this is it. And things are still carrying on. It all is now, the last fight was years ago, but we're still carrying on. This is how married life is. It's carrying on. Don't take it to heart. If she really meant what she's saying, then she should be gone long time ago. But she's still here. The wife is still here. Mother is still there. To please parents is very easy. To please the parents is very easy. All you got to say, maaf karjo. That's all. I'm sorry. Make dua for us, we're very nadan still. Finish. Make dua for us, we're very nadan, we're still growing up. Ma, make dua for us. Finish. Give them the man a little bit. That we are still young, we are still children. We don't know how to behave and to act. Dua karjo, make dua. But that's all you got to say. And already they feel happy. Okay, he understood he's wrong. He made a mistake. That's all. You don't have to say detail. You say ma, sorry. Make ma, make dua. We're still learning. You're still learning. So to make parents happy is very easy. But with the wife, it's not that easy now. And the reality is that the night is going to be spent not with the parents, with the wife. Parents will forgive, the wife won't forgive so easily. So there we're going to be a bit more careful now how to handle it. How to create the muhabbat between. Respect has to be there. We must maintain the respect between both sides. So we listen to everything. When Allah Ta'ala has made us to listen. So we listen, and we listen, and we listen for a long period of time. I don't have to say anything. Yes, we acknowledge. We acknowledge, first of all, that you are emotional, you are hurt. You are emotional, you are hurt. However you understand the situation, you are hurt right now. We might always say, but it's not like that. Don't ever say that. That how you're thinking is wrong. It wasn't meant like that. Acknowledge. Like somebody says, now I'm hurt. But he shouldn't feel hurt, but he is hurt right now. But you say, why are you feeling like that? You shouldn't feel like that. But I am feeling like that. I telling him, don't do that. He is paining or she is hurting. And you say, don't hurt. And that's what you say. But you shouldn't be thinking like that. But I'm thinking like that right now. So hear the person out. Let them offload everything. As it says, open your chest, open your heart, and let them offload. If you don't allow them to offload, then they'll find somebody who they can talk to and agree with them. That is why they say that when it comes to women, the wives, if we don't give them a chance now to speak to us, then they'll find a friend. And friends are always ready to listen. And they will listen and they'll give the wrong advice. And then they begin to trust somebody else because I can't speak to him. Before I can say anything, already he closes, shuts my mouth up. So I can't even tell him anything. Because he says, no, you're wrong. You shouldn't feel, you know, mother didn't mean this, she meant that. Oh, you're covering up. He says, now keep quiet and listen, 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 and agree, yes, I understand, I understand. All they need to hear is, I know how you're feeling. And the friends will tell them that, I know how you're feeling. I know what you're going through. I can't imagine how you're still living over there. All they need to hear is that. But we won't say that. We won't say, we'll say the opposite now. We say, yeah, we'll open the whole chapter on sabr. Whole chapter on sabr. And we'll tell them, you know, so much of shukr. We give the whole bayan on sabr and shukr, sabr and shukr. All they need to hear is that I can understand how you're feeling. If I was in your situation, I would feel the same. I can imagine the pain you're going through right now. So feel for the person. We feel for everybody else. When it comes to the wife, then we don't feel it. We feel something is wrong with her. Something is not right with her. Why should she be feeling like this? It wasn't meant like that. In day is coming, all the misunderstandings will happen. Then she'll come at night. We had a beautiful, lovely day. You were the men, alhamdulillah. And you had a lovely time, alhamdulillah. The food was delicious. And it was a full, fully fledged da'wah, everything. Come home at night. And now, drove all the way home. And it was complete silence. What happened? When they say nothing, then inna lillahi. Nothing happened, you know there's a problem. Nothing, 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 then you know. So if a person has an open heart, then allow her to speak it. And we know commonly what will happen. That we took so much, nobody said it was nice. Nobody ate the salad also. Inna lillahi. I can imagine how you feel. If I was like that, I took it, nobody ate it, I should feel also hurt about it. We say, no, don't worry about it, man. Bring it home, I'll eat it. It's not about you eating it. Is that she took time, and I went and I took it, and nobody said anything. They just want acknowledgement. Allah Ta'ala made them like that. Just acknowledgement a little bit. Just to acknowledge them. Allah has made women like that. That, oh, may you nashaw fil hilya. Allah says they are brought up in glitter and glamour and jewelry. They like to be recognized. They like to be commended. Allah has made them like that. The little girls also. That's their nature. Allah has made them with a nature like that. That they like to be given good comments and like to be praised. And Allah Ta'ala has given the men that we have the tongues to praise them. Give them that praise. But we're waiting now for people to give us a good word. But give them the praise and give them that muhabbat. On that they will respect you. So allow her. So don't give preference to the wife over one's parents. So learn how to balance both. But the most important, as I mentioned now, build that highway. And no tolls over there. And just listen. Learn to listen and to listen and to feel for the person. And these few words will change a lot of things. I know how you're feeling. I can imagine your pain. I'll be genuine. Don't say it now because I'm telling you. If Mahana says, say it, so I'm telling you. And I hope the effect is correct also. No, genuinely, think about it. If my wife is paining right now, how come I don't feel the pain? I should also feel it. Whether it's right or it's wrong, but the person is feeling the pain right now. So, feel for the person also. Feel for her and express your love and your muhabbat and your concern and your pain also. If you are disrespectful at any time to your parents, regret your action and hasten to obtain their pardon. If one's parents had passed away while they were displeased with one, then one should always make dua and seek forgiveness on their behalf. It is hoped that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that they become happy with their children. Thus the relationship will be restored on the day of Qiyamah. After their demise, seek forgiveness on their behalf. Within one's means, practice virtuous deeds with the intention that the reward acquired thereof should be bestowed to them. Isale sawab. Make dua istighfar, tawbah for them, and isale sawab for them. Two things. Pay their debts, person within his means, pay their debts and fulfill any lawful bequest if one has the means to do so. Meeting and rendering service to their friends, third thing. So one is, make dua maghfirat for them. Do some isale sawab for them and keep contact with their friends. So they say, by doing these three things after the demise, Allah will raise you in the day of Qiyamah as an obedient son to your parents. Although in this worldly life there was problem, but after the demise, Allah Ta'ala has kept the door open still to make amends. So meeting with and rendering service to the friends of one's parents after their demise are also acts which are regarded in Islam as service to parents. Father's friends, yes, we can meet them, buy some hadiah for them, send for them something. Mother's friends, then Qurbani time comes, send some meat over them, over to the house, whatever it is, that was my mother's friend. Usually the girls do that, so they keep that muhabbat. The rights of parents come first, followed by the ustaz. First comes the parents, followed by the ustaz, and then the sheikh. People now, ulta tartib, they put the sheikh first. They put the sheikh first, the ustaz that taught you, put him one side, and the parent after that. Hazrat is coming. But the parent's right is first. He's waiting to go masjid. But now I'm rushing, and very important Hazrat says over here now. We are very quick now when he comes to the sheikh, putting his shoes right. My father, don't worry about him. Put his shoes also. Coming out from the masjid, pick up his shoes, put his shoes down for the Hazrat, for the sheikh, for the ustaz. They will do it. But more than that, do for your father. Even though he's bad to you, this is how you break him. Make his khidmat, you will break him like this. Ya Allah, look at my son. What I don't tell him. I treat him so badly, but still he's making my khidmat. Alright, he's going anywhere, open the door for him, close the door for him. He might think now what he wants from me now. But you do it for the pleasure of Allah. This is my islah now. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that reward, and Allah will give that izzat also. So it's easy to do it for others, but shaitan just puts a block now. Why should I do it for my father? Do it for him. Before he comes up, put his shoes over there. What will come out from the heart? Only du'as will come out. Only du'as will come out from his heart, nothing else. And so easy to get the du'a. You say, one is to ask for du'a, one is to take du'as. You will be taking du'as, free of charge. What effort there was now, just putting the shoe there. But it's so heavy. It's so heavy to pick up the shoes and put it on the ground for him. But it's not heavy. It's heavy on the heart. But do it. And he's going to the masjid also, quickly grab his shoes. But you know how difficult it is. Nafs won't allow you. He says, no, why are you doing something like this now? Do it. And all you get is du'as. Any khidmat, send him a message. I'm here at Checkers, I'm here at Macro. Papa, you need anything. Papa, you need. Even if he doesn't need, send him a message all the time. Carry on sending the messages, it'll come in his heart. Then my son got so much muhabbat. That du'a will come out at that moment. As I mentioned now, even a non-Muslim du'a is accepted. Allah accepts their du'as also. So he's a Muslim, he's a mu'min, he'll make du'a for you. So the du'as will be accepted. So make their khidmat. The rights of parents come first, then followed by the ustaz, and then by the sheikh. It is lamentable that nowadays the degree of respect shown to spiritual mentors, the sheikh, is not offered to parents, despite the fact that respect and obedience to parents are Quranic injunctions. If one's father requests one to rub his feet, and one's spiritual mentor, the sheikh, commands one to perform nafil salah, then it is compulsory to obey one's father, rub his feet. That is more rewarding for you than your nafil namaz also. The relationship of the sheikh with one is of a lesser degree than that of one's father. It is possible to sever links with the spiritual guide. If, for example, his instructions are contrary to the sharia, but it is not possible to break ties with one's father. His respect is always compulsory on the son. Always compulsory, no matter what he does to you. Some people say they have no feeling of affection in their hearts for the parents. It happens. But that explains it also, that a person now came up in life slowly, whatever he was, parent didn't give him anything, father didn't do for him, mother also never showed him love. People say this. And now they found the sheikh showed them muhabbat and love, taught them deen, and now I feel my parents did nothing for me. They teach me deen also. They didn't give me proper tarbiyat also. My mother was working. Father too was out of the house. I grew up with a domestic at home. So now we feel disconnected. And now I found a sheikh, I found an ustaz, or my wife, whatever it may be. Because they say, that some people say they have no feeling of affection in their hearts for their parents. This is a weakness and a spiritual disease. But what we'll do now, we bring proof and dalail. Why I'm feeling like this? It's because of 1, 2, and 3. When I was young, this happened. My mother told me, treated me like this. So I just got disconnected. Or my father was harsh to me. Or he beat me up like this. Mercilessly. Never treated the other children like that. So I just got disconnected. He said, this is a spiritual disease. Hazrat explains also, many a young boy will say, my mother never taught me anything. That's why I don't feel, now I got deen in my life, I think now, how come she never taught me? Hazrat will say, remember, that as adults, every person feels now that I'm very clean. I'm very clean. I like everything clean, clean. My room, my bathroom, my everything. When I eat also, I like things clean. And I like to be very clean also. When I go to the toilet also. So that says, who taught you to wash your bottom? Your mother taught you. She didn't teach you, you wouldn't have this feeling of being so clean. Your whole thing of your own self now, you being so clean and like this, like that. Where you learnt it from? She taught you how to be clean. She taught you, she washed your bottom when you were young also. Can you thank her for that? Never, you cannot thank her for that. Now you feel I'm so clean and I'm like this, I'm like that. But where's the foundation? She said, you can't think, you can't put a price on that. The bringing you up, the nights that she turned and looked, took care of you. He says, then now make dua for them. Don't feel a disconnection. This is a weakness and a spiritual disease. The remedy is to serve them, love will be created. Serve them, make khidmat, and Allah will create the muhabbat. The hard do. Say four things you must do. Just one more point left. Four things you must do to create muhabbat and love. Four things. Whoever it may be a parent, be a child, be an associate, be a friend, whoever it is now, the dushmani, the war is on, do four things. The first thing, oh, it's all in the Hadith Sharif. Al-Ba'du bi salam bari'um min al-kibr. The person that makes salam first is free of pride. Very difficult. The person I'm not getting along with. That's the person I make salam with first. Make salam first. Whether it be some associate, some opposition, some opponent, parent, wife, you make salam first. Now you think, why should I make salam? I didn't do anything. But you make salam. Hadith Sharif says, you make salam first, Allah says you are free from pride. If you don't have pride, you go to Jannat now. It's all ego. But we know in the very Sharia way now, we'll have all the proofs. But why I should not make salam to him first? There's no excuse. Sharia will not tolerate any excuse. You make the salam first. Entering the house, you make salam first. Even though nobody is talking, you make the salam loudly as you enter. Then a second salam. Then you see the person again in the room, in the kitchen. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dabaw the nafs. Rest it. Parent, children, whatever it is also. Nabi Ali salatu salam, they say, was so fast in salam that nobody could beat him. Even the young children also, they were ducked behind. Couldn't catch him. Make salam first. To the younger children also. So even make salam to the young children, they become accustomed. Our grandchildren, children in the masjid. Don't just go shake their hand. Make salam with them. Become habitual. And if they don't have the habit, then you must teach them. Make salam. You came inside, now make salam. So, salam will destroy the pride in you, the ego. Ego is out, then there's muhabbat. Now with this ego there, I don't know make salam, she doesn't know make salam, parent don't know make salam, it's all ego. And who's having a field day? Shaitan. He's looking, he says, hey, I got it all now. All the hearts are discord, disunited. So make salam first. First thing. Second thing, do the habbo. Exchange gifts, it will create muhabbat. Exchange gifts, it will create muhabbat. Now you might send the first time gift, she might throw it out. What's this? Now you're sending roses. Or to the parent, or to the child. Send some gifts. And how to send the gift also? We are taught, Barul al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, in Karachi at one time. And you gave a Maghrib Salah. And somebody sent the Hadiyah for Hazrat. Barul al-Haq sahab now was the last Shaykh of Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Khalifa of the Talmi rahmatullahi alayhi. Taught us practically everything, how to do things. Leaving now, we're rushing for Maghrib Salah. If somebody sends some hadiyah, he was the sheikh, that give this to Hazrat. They said the way to give hadiyah, that you're sending it via somebody. Because the purpose of gifting, of exchanging gifts, is to create love and muhabbat with that person. So this certain person who was there in the program, gave some hadiyah for Hazrat to somebody else, please give Hazrat. So as we're walking out, the person came, Hazrat, hadiyah hai aapke liye. Somebody said, hadiyah for you. He stopped. He said, acha, is this the time to give hadiyah? If you're rushing now for namaz, so he stopped and he taught us. See how to give the hadiyah. That we are rushing now. Don't give a hadiyah when somebody is in a rush and he can't give you full attention. Number one. Who the hadiyah from? Has somebody sent it? No. He must bring it with his own hands. I want to see who he is. So I'll see that he's giving the hadiyah. So my muhabbat for him will increase. Otherwise I'll never know who it is. Then he'll see me later on and he'll look at my face now. Hey, Hazrat didn't send a message to whether he liked it, he didn't like it. I don't know who he is. So he'll be sitting right next to me and he gave me such expensive hadiyah. And I'm wearing that itar, for example, and he can smell it also. Hey, I gave Hazrat. But he's not saying anything about it. I don't know who you are. If I know it's you, then I'll give you a smile. Jazakallah. I like the smell. It creates muhabbat and love. Now the hearts are united. So go and deliver the hadiah yourself. Sisters are not speaking, or parents, whatever it is. Then it's very easy in the driver who drop off the parcel. Oh, take a lot, we'll deliver it. If yes, we have to that way, they send a message also. Assalamu alaikum. Hope you're keeping well. Please accept hadiyah on my behalf. Please accept hadiyah on my behalf. Request for du'as. You're always in my du'as. Short message, sweet. Tahadu tahabbu. Exchanging gifts will create muhabbat. I know now what my wife likes. I know what my mother likes. I know what my father likes. So, the first time they might reject it. Like one youngster, I gave him the advice also. They do this now. Have a problem with a certain boy in the boarding, etc. So, buy him a chocolate. So I bought him a chocolate, left him on the bed. The boy came in. He said, hey, who left this cheap chocolate over here? That boy got even more nar. He got more upset. Yeah, Allah, I bought him a hadiah. And I said, who put this cheap chocolate over here? So the first time in mind, now your nafs is really being attacked now. Yeah, one youngster came also. And he was getting it from his wife also every day. He said, hey, every day I go home again. Scolding for something or the other. I said, take some hadiah for her. He said, no, she buys whatever. I give her the card and she can buy whatever she wants. I said, no, that's different. That she's buying. You buy it. Buy with your own hand. Makes a big difference. So he went to the engine and the shop, garage shop, and he bought some ice cream, some chips, some chocolate, and he took it. Next day he came, he shot him, he said, Mursab, I got more hiding last time. I said, why, what happened? He said, I took the wrong flavors. I don't know what she likes. I said, I forgot to tell you, 1.2. 1.1 I told you, 1.2 was, take all the flavors. Take all the flavors, you fill her eyes, you fill her heart. Whether she'll eat it or not. Right. Now, like winter time is coming, summer time is coming, winter time now. Make some muhabbat with the parents, with the wife. Now, you know they like pajamas, they like slippers. Go and buy it. Now, I don't know what size it is too. No problem. Buy two, three different designs, whatever it is, and leave the strip inside. All they need to see is so many packets. Whether they'll wear it, whether they like it, is just now you fill the eyes. Fill the eyes, you fill the heart. So much you bought. Now they'll try it. Okay, I don't like this. No problem. They'll go return it. And they'll get this hype. But the thing is, the thought that counts. The Hadith Sharif guarantees that exchange hadiah. It will create muhabbat. Especially with the one now that doesn't want to spend on you. The one that's holding back your right. The one you can't get along with. Send the hadiah. Send the message. It will create muhabbat, guaranteed. So make salam first. Exchange gifts and hadiahs. The third thing ulama explain is speak good of that person in their absence. Speak good of that person in their absence. Very difficult. Very difficult. Then already you have a group around you and they're all thinking same like you. Yeah, that person is like that. But, see this one thing they're doing. Hey, you don't know. You might get chucked in. And speak about the good of that person. Although it's difficult, but speak good about the person. The wife also, you might say, she's like this. Oh, parent is like that. Whoever, my brother, oh, like this. But there's something good in everyone. Allah gives everybody a chance. Look for it. Look for the good and speak about it. And the fourth thing is make dua for that person by name. Very hard. Especially some opposition. Ya Allah, you give him more business. Ya Allah, you pick him up. No matter what he's done to me, he hasn't paid my money. But Ya Allah, you give him more barakat. Allah is listening to you. What a heart you have. This is the heart of Rahmatul Alameen. When Faruq Makki Sahib says, Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, those that were the arch enemies, Khalid bin Walid, Wahshi, Hind, Abu Sufyan, and the rest of them, they wanted the blood of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They wanted to hurt him in Uhud, wanted to make him bleed, took his uncle's life. But the sabr and the perseverance, it took a long time. 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah, Fatah Makkah took place, now Khalid came. Now Wahshi came. And he says, like how we may say, they came to Nabi Ali, O Nabi of Allah, we hurt your feelings. We know we hurt your feelings. O Nabi of Allah, I am now that arrow you throw me. I'm your slave now. Throw me how far you want, and I'll run for you now. Before that I was running behind you to take your life, now I'll run for you. And how Khalid moved after that. How he moved. Wahshi, how he moved thereafter also. And how they made the khidmat of deen, he says that entire akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu salam made them his slaves for life. Those that wanted to take his life became his slaves now. We're ready to give our life for you. He says the table will turn around. Where that parent now one day will need you. He will need you. The daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law will tell her before demise, Betty, maaf karjo. Sorry. I'm sorry about it. And we saw so many instances like this where the daughter-in-law made the khidmat of the mother-in-law. She made the sabr, etc. Many incidents we heard like this. Didn't show disrespect. Carried on making the khidmat. And how much the husband loved the wife because of that. And the last moments of the mother-in-law's life also, Betty, maaf karjo, took out the bangles. Said, hadiyah for you, I'm giving you this. She didn't give the daughters also. Give the daughter-in-law. See, how come? She made the khidmat. She went through all of that. And see how Allah Ta'ala rewarded her. And so many things after Allah Ta'ala gave her izzat in this world also. And then even the family will say, but she made so much of khidmat. She made the sabr. All we are going to do is going to, yeah. So four things we do, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will turn the hearts around. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu. Thank you.